The Shire of Nanup would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri and Boon Wurrung people of the Noongar Nation as the traditional custodians of the land of which this podcast is recorded on, and we extend our respect to the elders past and present, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal Australians living within the Shire of Nanup.
I can see clearly now the rain has gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day.
This is the Nanup Oral History Podcast. We're talking with Val and John Nash, who this September in 2025 have been in Nanup 60 years. They've had more than one setback in life, with John going blind and Val dealing with not one but two car accidents. And they still have the resilience and capacity to live the life they want. In this episode, Val and John touch on the effects of Cyclone Albie in 1978. They share their connection to community and their life on the farm. We actually got the chance to visit their farm, and Val and John kindly gave us a tour of their museum and its surrounding items. They explained the purpose and history of everything, offering valuable insights into their uses and significances, taking us back in time and serving Nanup well.
He got an infection in his eye. Went to a certain doctor.
I'd had a bad operation on the top there and it was all mucky and
germ must have got in it.
Must have come down here, got into the eye and terrible pain. Carted me off to, what's the hospital?
Bunbury.
Perth Hospital. Oh, well, yeah, Bunbury first and then up Perth. And then I had to have operations and... Yeah. But I was already blind by then.
The pressure in his eyes was 39 when he got to Bunbury. And Dr. Sinclair happened to be driving past the hospital and he heard the name John Nash and he come straight in. Anyway, they put him up in Perth for
and they had to put three needles in my eye with no anaesthetic. They had to hold me down.
Took three nurses and a doctor.
And pretty powerful when
another
I get
one
going.
To hold him down.
Can you tell us about when you came to Nanup? About you being here for 60 years and arriving with kids.
We had a property in North Boynup. We worked up in the wheat belt for 2 years and then we decided John wanted to go farming himself. So we come down and looked at a couple of properties in June, September. The 4th we arrived in Nanup and with five children, ages range from 8 to 1 year old, and no power, no water, no telephone, and a basic house which was filthy. John got a job in the forestry.
About a month after we got here, I think, and done everything the forestry wanted. There's a couple of sheds up there at the forest office, which I built. Weatherboard sheds. Wonder if they're still there. Done everything they wanted me to do on the houses and so on.
He worked in the forestry for 5 years till 1970.
I felt like doing something for myself, so I handed in the forestry job, which was quite good. They used to pay me using my truck and tools and everything, and... So then I went working around town. I'd done just about everything that needed to be done all around the district and in town. There's hardly a house in, older houses in Nanup that I didn't work on with putting up guttering or... Nobody seemed to want to get up on the roof in them days. So I had all the roofs to myself. Nobody wanted to fight me to get up on the roof. I was a plumber for the whole district and... because I can do anything, not now, I'm blind as a bat. I've done everything and anything, and nobody ever complained. In fact, if you took me up to the Shire office, I can point out the metal I put on the windows, if they're still there, to stop anybody smashing a window and getting in. That was early in the piece too. The one opposite the garage, what's the Ampole garage, is it? That's got a pretty steep roof, and I used to hook something over the ridge, and then go walk down and check the gutters and put the ladders in and roofing nails and anything that was needed on the roof, which was getting a bit leaky.
He worked on his own till 1986 on practically every house in Nanup.
I don't know how it happened, but I started to see black spots on my vision. I thought, oh, there goes some birds going over. And so I said that to the optometrist, I think it was, in Bunbury, and he said, you better see a ophthalmologist. And he said, oh, yeah, you better go to Perth. And they took me up there. Well, we drove there, did we, or what? I don't think I drove, did I? Anyway, the retina had been knocked off the back of my eye, and what I'd seen was spots of blood in the eye. And so I had to lay on my side for about 3 days to let it flop back into place, and then they stuck it back on. Not with Tarzan's grip, though. Something else. I think it was freeze-dried on or something like that. Didn't bother to tell me, and I didn't bother to ask. So my vision was starting to go down, and I could still manage most things, but then I started to make more mistakes than I like to do. I like to do a good job and be satisfied I'd done the best I could. So when that started to happen, I decided, so that's when I left doing outside work and went back to the farm and started doing what I should have been doing for a few years, getting the farm up to scratch. So that started to happen in 86. My eyes were still going downhill all the time, but I could still manage most things. I was a fire control officer for East Nanup for, I think, must have been 15 years or something, I suppose. The fires weren't as fierce in them days as they are today, when we used to have a knapsack spray and a rake a little fire break and burn back and so on. I done that in the forestry. I learned how to do that in the forest department. I was done the farmers' union. I was president, I think, for quite a few years. Don't remember how long, but what years might that have been? Oh, that would have been somewhere in the 70s or 70s, and I've done that for something number of years.
Till you couldn't drive.
Yeah, I haven't been able to drive for how many years?
About 86, I think.
Yeah.
Because then I went out to work in 1986 at Donnelly River Holiday Village.
So you went to work because John stopped working?
Yeah. Oh, no, just
because of extra.
Because I could manage everything on the farm, so Val could go, and the kids were all gone, so she took the advantage of getting a bit of money for herself.
So worked there nearly every day of the week.
That was Donnelly River Village?
Donnelly River Holiday Village, about 22 k's away, I think it was. When I gave up work, I was in two car accidents in 89-90. I was in a passenger in a car with my daughter on the Dardanup Road. We were parked on the side of the road, giving the baby the bottle. I was in the middle seat. A drunk motorbike driver came up, left the road. We were parked about 10 metres off the road, wrote the back of the car off. I got thrown between the two front seats, got whiplash. Then I think that was July. Then in January, I was driving in Bunbury, camper van at a Big W. A drunk doctor, orthopaedic surgeon, ploughed into the back of me, he went through a give way sign, got more neck injuries, 6 fractures of the spine, so I virtually had to give up work. So that was my end of working out.
Did you have to go to Perth, or could you stay in Nanup while you were recovering?
No, I stayed in Nanup, but backwards and forwards to orthopaedic surgeons and specialists for treatment. So
then went on to have cancer treatment?
Yeah, that was in 22. Had been to the doctors and said, oh, it's nothing to worry about. Got bigger, seen another doctor, and had breast cancer. So had surgery on that, and touch wood, it's all clear.
In 2010, we went to England, the continent, for the longest period of time we've been away from the farm. It was 5 weeks away because my uncle was killed in 1917 in Menengate, and I wanted to see that, so we went out there through France and to, what's the name of that country we went to?
Belgium,
yeah. And there's a picture somewhere of me pointing at his name on the scroll, William Henry Nash, my father's brother. So he's my direct uncle. And...
Because John's a descendant from Bridgetown. His family originally from Bridgetown. And his father gave up farming after the Depression and moved away, and I was born in Greenbushes, so I'm not far from where we all started out.
Can you tell me more about your farm and living there this whole time? You've been there 60 years, is it?
60 years in September.
We've always run sheep and we're still running merinos. And this closing out of the live sheep trade has been a disaster for a lot of people. We're weathering it all right because whenever there's good times, we put something away for the bad times, which always come in farming. And our best years, I think, on the farm would have been from when we started to build a new house in the 70s. 78 when Cyclone Alby came past, and I had the roof on and all the understructure in place, and it lifted a little bit and went out of the crack in the flooring and then dropped down, and all it needed was a few keys to get it back in the groove, so nothing went away. But I remember the day it was coming when Sandra Dunnett, because I built a room on the old kindergarten, and I knew Sandra pretty well, and I was up on top of the old chemist shop, and I thought the wind's getting a bit, I better get down. So I happened to bump into Sandra at Roy's garage, and she said, oh, I'm going home, there's a fire at home. So I jumped in the truck and went out there and chased the fire around that was going towards a big drop off the hill, and it was fierce wind, and it was just blowing the burning leaves across the ground. He was trying to stop them, and by hand, you know, we don't have the sort of things in them days that they have now, planes and everything. One of the forestry boys was there with a loader and was trying to put in a rake, but it just kept crossing the brake. And then when it got to the top of the rise, it started to fade off, but there's a few bit going over the edge, and the forestry bloke went down there to try, and then his loader got stuck on a rock and was rocking like that, so he jumped off and left it. Then it stopped rocking, and he cautiously went back and drove it off the rock, and that was about as far as we could go with that fire. And so I went home,
I was in hospital at the time in Bridgetown.
That's right.
They said, man from Nanup's got blown off a roof because thought of him. And anyway, they went away and they come back and they said, no, it wasn't your husband, but we can't tell you who.
Yeah, he landed two houses away because he was trying to rope it down at the front and the roof lifted like that and just sent him like a sling stone into a yard a couple of houses away. But I don't remember what he didn't get too badly hurt, I don't think. Can't remember. Anyway, after I'd left Dunnett's, I came out, went out to Golgali Road to get home, and there were a few trees and things down across the road, but I managed to get over them or through them or around them. But Paul was on the school bus and had been dropped off at home, and he was there by himself, so we jumped in the old truck and drove up to the new house, we sat there in the truck waiting for it to stop blowing or something. It was the fiercest wind I've ever come across. And whenever a gust came along, I put my foot on the brake to hold the truck in place. And then we must have got to the centre of it because it suddenly there was a lull. And so we went back down to the old house to have some dinner, had a few eggs and so on, and then went in and had a sleep. But in the morning when we got up, there was a big pine tree that had come over, but not on the house. It had blown away from the house, so we were safe there.
I was in the hospital auxiliary for quite a few years. I was secretary, treasurer. I don't know how many years, but quite a few years I was in the auxiliary. That folded up for some reason. And I was in the Carlotta Progress Association. I was secretary of that for quite a few years. Also I was secretary for the community centre for 9 years. That was when they were, you know, getting it going. And my children had left school, left Nanup, so I thought, well, it's about time some of the younger ones took over, you know. They're involved in sport and everything because my kids had already gone to Bunbury. So I was secretary for 9 years for the community centre. Secretary of the Historical Society from 2003. I joined it when the late Deb Buckley, just a few months after she started it up. So I've been doing that since 2003. Mm. Yeah, in the PNC. Yeah, used to go to regular meetings, driving there. I think they just have meetings at night time.
So your children, did they go to the state school here?
Yeah, they went to Nanup from 1965 till my youngest son left there in 75, I think. A couple of them worked with John for a while in, you know, in his business, but then they all went to Bunbury and left us on the farm.
So it's just the two of you there?
Yeah. Had my son-in-law and daughter living there for 3 years. They've gone to Bridgetown to live.
So you're still doing sheep?
250 sheep. We used to run 900. We're down to 250 at the moment, and we also have plantations.
Yeah, we went into plantations when my eyes were starting to close up on about 92, I think, was our first planting.
Sheep prices were low, so we were still in plantations.
We couldn't do the number of sheep that we had with me going blind. Val does most of the farm work at the moment. She's always putting out hay lately. I try and keep up with the fencing.
We can still throw a bale of hay around.
I've seen you out there. And you do a lot of the fencing, John?
Yeah, I can follow fence lines and because we got one electric wire, the second wire up, and I can sort of check that out with me.
With
touching it and so on. And I know most of the fences, but occasionally get lost down around the sheds because I can't see anything and I follow tracks where I walk all the time or where the vehicle's gone, and sometimes get lost for half an hour in a 2-acre paddock, I suppose, which has got a number of trees and things on it and machinery. Because I don't see things, the memory begin to fade on what I've put there. And neither of us want to retire to off the farm. We want to stay there.
I was going to say, what keeps you going with the farm? It's an incredible resilience that you have.
Well, you've got to do something. Because I've been doing it for so long, I still have memories of what I've done, you know, a few years ago, and the fences I've put in, and I can follow them and sort of sort it all out.
So what is it about Nanup that you love?
Oh.
Well, it's a quietness,
yeah.
You know. Never like the city life, you know. It's a bit more laid back in Nanup. Mm. Nanup was always different levels, mill workers, forestry workers and farmers, you know. It's sort of, but we sort of blended in, you know, with the people being in the PNC and all those organisations.
And a lot of the people that we did know have crossed the border and are no longer with us.
Do you still have friends here?
Yeah, still got friends here. Mm. Well,
but I find it a little bit hard to communicate with people I can't see. So,
is there any specific memories that you just hold really dear that you'd like to share?
When I had the business of building and so on, I think nearly all, or maybe all, they worked with me for a year or so till I found a job elsewhere. So they all got a bit of a teaching of what it's like to be a builder and, you know, do anything. That's rubbed off on one of the grandchildren who's just as good as me nowadays. And be able to do anything, turn your hand to anything, no matter what it is.
It's a wonderful thing to have passed on.
Yeah. Mm.
We hope we serve Nana well, you know, especially when we had children at school, you know, you had to, be in the PNC and all those things and sports and...
What was it like raising children in Nana?
Oh, it's good, I think.
Yeah, They weren't into sport that much. They used to play a bit of football, but, mainly from primary up until high school, they played sport. And the teachers were quite good, you know, took an interest in what the kids done at school. Mm. So I'm just trying to think what else.
People know about you and your story here in Nanup, what would it be?
Hopefully we've been an asset to the town. Yeah, and...
Well, I kept the town running with being a plumber and a carpenter, a cabinet maker, and I could do French polishing once too, but that's gone by the board. Now you just put a clear finish on with a brush.
And hopefully, you know, could still contribute something to the... to the town, not so involved in the historical society, so I haven't got the time.
You're busy running a farm, yes.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the property?
It's 122 hectares. We bought this property, the one across the road, another 122. We sold that one and bought another one next door, which had more creek frontage, from George Moore in 1975 before he died.
What do you do here?
Run sheep, and we've got plantations as well.
And you're still running sheep?
Yeah, we're still running about 2,500.
Can you tell us about that, what you and John do here?
Well, John doesn't do a lot. He supervises, but we're getting contractors to do the shearing and shed hands and that sort of thing. And I check them every day. I've been feeding out hay for the last month, but not anymore. Thank goodness.
You and John have been doing this for so long. What do you love about it?
Well, probably the isolation. Yeah, because we're not used to having people around us or neighbours. We've got good neighbours. We've got calm for neighbours. So,
well, it's a very tidy, beautiful property. Can you tell us about the building that we're in?
this building. Yeah, this building was, we had that much stuff and my son and daughter-in-law living here, and we decided to build a shed and turned into a museum. They were going to run it, but then we had trouble with the main roads, and then they decided to go to Manjum up to live. And so we only had open a few times. We've had different groups come out here, Historical Society, the kindergarten, a couple of the schools classes came out as well. And we've just collected all this stuff over the last 60 years plus stuff we bought here. Mm-hmm. We had a flood go through it about 20 years ago. There's a foot of water through it, believe it or not, and nearly half a foot of mud.
How did you clean up after that?
We had to just hose it off, hose it all out, take the sheets of tin off the ends and hosed it all out. So,
I didn't know it could flood up here.
Yeah, the floods came from up the top of the hill. You know, we had probably 25 millimetres, 45 millimetres overnight, you know, and had nowhere to go except down here and into the creek. Mm.
Yeah, it's an amazing collection of items. Mm. But can you tell us a little bit about the objects or the items that you have in here?
Well, the cot is nearly 100 years old. That was John's cot when he was a baby at Bridgetown. The high chairs is probably 70 years old.
These wooden high chairs here? Yep.
High chairs and the body chairs were his uncle and auntie's and handed down to us. This pram was second hand and I got it for my daughter when she was 9 months old. Used to just use it at home because kids pinched the wheels off it.
What were you saying that they were using the wheels for?
Go-karts.
Go-karts, yep. So this is wicker?
Cane, I suppose you'd call it.
Yeah.
This is a light horse saddle. I think the previous owner, Jimmy Hood, was in the light horse. That was here when we came. This saddle belonged to Georgie Moore from down the road, the property we bought. Most of all this harnessery was here when we came. Oh, the typewriter was my daughter's.
Oh, wow.
Daughter-in-law's, probably 1950s. This is John's original woodworking tools.
His original
tools?
Yeah,
he made all these tables and chairs with that little thing.
Wow.
Cut it all out.
So what is this called, the wolf cub?
Wolf cub, yeah.
Wow. Mm. What are these?
They're levels, spirit levels.
Oh. Mm. Wow, old wooden spirit levels. Mm. How beautiful.
The crosscut saws belonged to John's father. Some were here. All the tools were here. The loom belongs to my sister-in-law's, which is supposed to go back to Bunbury, but hasn't. It's a weaving loom.
Okay, under there?
Yes, believe it or not. This was one of the original washing machines.
Wow.
It had a lever that went up and down. And it's got a scrubbing board in there. This was my first wringer. I don't know where my first washing machine is. It's hidden somewhere. They're baby bathtubs. And then those tubs, we used to bath in those when I was little.
Yeah.
By the kitchen fire. And these irons, some of these irons I used when I come here. The petrol ones, shellite ones.
Oh, wow.
This one has charcoal in it.
Wow.
With coals in it. That's first butter churn John made.
Wow.
He made that when we had cows at North Point up.
So wooden butter churn.
Mm.
Wow. How long would it take to churn butter?
Probably half an hour.
Wow. Mm. And when did you say you had the cows?
When we're at North Point up.
Okay.
Back in the 50s. Mm. Mm. The machinery was here when we came. We did used to use that plough, believe it or not.
So what did you do with this?
And we used to pull it with a tractor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they used to pull it with horses, but we used it for a couple of years with a tractor. I think John might have used that once.
So what's this?
This is a multi-furrow plough.
Okay.
Mm. That used to be horse-drawn, of course, once.
Uh-huh.
That's a disc plough.
Okay, and did you use this as well?
Yeah, we have used that in the past.
Uh-huh.
And kids used to sit on the seat, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Wouldn't be allowed to do it today. This one was a horse-drawn one.
Did you say it was buried?
This was here when it came.
Uh-huh.
Horse-drawn.
Yep. And what did you do with this?
Well, I think we used it to grow potatoes with a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
But we pulled it with a tractor.
Mm. Amazing.
Alice Chalmers' tractor, which was probably made, if I remember rightly, around about just after the end of the Second World War in about 46, 47. And it was on the farm when we came here. And it's got no three-point linkage. It's purely and simply a drag tractor. And I offered £50 for it because we bought the whole farm and everything on it as a bulk lot. £50 is what I paid for that, and it still goes. And it was my only tractor for a few years until I bought the Fortune Dexter. It's a D25U, a Caterpillar, made in Chile. And I bought it from some people up at near, what's that place before Perth, on the coast?
Mandurah.
A fisherman there. I bought it for $3,500, I think, in those days. And it once had a broken disc in the transmission case, and we had to replace that, and we took two tractors to drag it from way over the back up here, get it into the shed where I split it in two, just pulled it apart, and got a Caterpillar mechanic to open it up and replace the clutch mechanism. And he said, we better have a look at the gearbox to see what it's like. And it's just as well we did, because it had some broken balls in the bearing there. And we put it back together, and that's all it's ever done. The motor's never been done, or the radiator or anything. It's all original. They seem to last forever, these old Caterpillars. My son-in-law's been the driver most of the time. Oh, we're in the shearing shed I built in the, it would have been the late 60s, I think, after doing a couple of shearings in the dairy shed that was here. And at the time, raised floor shearing platforms were coming in, so I decided to do that. Saves you bending down here to, you know, pick up a fleece. And the shearers are happy with that. And I have a radio over there up loud, so as if I get anywhere within hearing, I can hear me way back to where I should be. Oh, yeah, I do fencing, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we came here in 65 and with five kids, and Val was here, of course. We finally looked around, came onto this place, and reckon we had the ideal of a good enough house and good land. And I think we proved that pretty much. And so we've been 13 years after we came here, we're debt free, building a new house, and we've never been in debt since. I hate owing money to anybody, so I can sleep straight in bed. As one of my neighbours used to say, when he used to work every day too, and he said, the better the day, the better the deed. I didn't put down the time I spent building the new house, but I kept a log of the materials, and you wouldn't believe it only cost $12,000. In them days, to build a house, $12,000 in material. So, 78 I started on when Cyclone Albie came through, and I've been probably a year on it then. That, of course, includes all the concrete, the stone walls as well. And now a builder today wants $12,000 to look at the look at the building. My father was in the Air Force in the Second World War. He was on aerodrome. On the, you know, he became a sergeant by the time the war ended. They were protecting the airfield because that was the first target that the Japanese wanted to knock out, was any airplanes getting into the air. So they used to focus on the, yeah, it was at Darwin for that. what happened there. And he said they shot it down a zero one day, and he said it crashed and burnt. There was enough of the pilot left to put in a matchbox, he said. Whole thing burnt up, and that's all that was left. Oh, yeah, well, I had the farm in Bridgetown, but when the
Depression
came along and knocked them out, I think they left the farm in about 38, yeah. And that's when he went to work on the railways, and he'd also been a sleeper cutter in the bush. They used to do all that. And he, after the war, when he came back, the only job he could get in Bunbury, at that time we were living in Bunbury, was on the dunny cart, if you know what they are. They come along and pick up the cans up. But it was better than being shot at, I think he thought.
Yeah. Beef cattle property at Burrock Cup.
Yeah, at the Burrock Cup irrigation farm. I worked there for 11 years.
For 2 years.
They were good people to work for. I could have stayed there till I'm this age, I think, but I decided I wanted to do something for myself. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did eventually get a job on a wheat belt farm, didn't we? And I learned all about sheep then and done a study on agriculture 1 and 2 and sheep, animal husbandry 1 and 2 while I was there.
What was it about the land here that you knew would work?
Oh, it was good clay land.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, stone here and there. If you want any stones, you can come and pick up a paddock. Yeah, a lot of it we cleared. These paddocks were here, in a sense, in that it was covered with bracken and all that sort of thing, and trees that have been ring-barked, all dead. You know, big trees. Took a bit of... I remember one funny thing that happened one night. We were still in the old house then. I had one burning up the top of the hill there. All the limbs had gone off it. And I had a log against it to burn it down. And I heard it go thump, rumble, rumble, rumble down towards the old house. Fortunately, it stopped before it got there.
Is there anything that you would tell young people as a bit of a lesson?
If you want to get somewhere in life, you've got to work at it. And I see also at times that where people retire, they just vegetate and then they're gone within sometimes 12 months. You've got to keep moving.
But seeing too many people go to bustle and for nothing to do, keeping active and fit, I think, is the most important thing, I think.
Unless you're rich.
Even though it seems hard work at times.
I'm sure it's very hard work. I take my hat off to both of you. I think you're incredible, continuing to do what you do, and you're definitely an asset to Nanup. And I know listening to you, the way you communicate with each other after so long married and living here in Nanup, it's just beautiful. So thank you for sharing part of your story with us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Nanup Oral History Podcast. If you are not a Nanupian, please come and visit our small town. We would love you to come. If you are a Nanupian, please share it with your family and friends. We're really proud of this, and we hope you are too. This podcast was made possible through the successful funding by the Department of Community's Age Friendly Community Program, facilitated through the local government's professionals and supported by the Shire of Nanup. We would like to thank all of those who have shared their stories to make this podcast happen. The podcast has been produced by the Shire of Nanup's Economic and Community Development Team and edited by Simple Ben Stories.